Welcome back to the Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM Knowlton. The interview of the week, sports at the bottom of the hour, and your arts and entertainment weekend with Sonia Patnode. Hour two of the Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulombe.
Time for Ed Humphrey. He's here every week to talk about people, places, and events in the Eastern Townships. Mr. Humphrey, how are you?
Well, I am great. Great to talk to you. And technology is a wonderful thing. Here I'm on the road visiting all these special events that we're going to be talking about, and we can do this live. This is like magic.
Yes, I am very impressed as well. Here we are. It's U.S. Thanksgiving weekend, or as we call it here in Quebec, Friday. But you know what this is? It marks really the start of Christmas season. When does the Advent calendar start? Is it on the 1st of December, or is it like 30 days before Christmas?
I wish I could answer that, but all I know is that I try to eat as many of those chocolates as I possibly can, whether it starts on the 1st of December or the 12th. I go through them pretty quickly.
Yeah, failing all answers, eat chocolate. That's it. All right, you wanted to talk about Christmas markets. What say you?
Yeah. And there's no lack of Christmas markets throughout Quebec. As we know, this is a wonderful European tradition, you know, that's kind of been anchored here in Quebec's towns and cities for quite some time now. And it's become an essential part of our holiday landscape. So there's Christmas markets just about everywhere, and they're all up and running now. You know, you can find them, as I mentioned, just about anywhere throughout the province. And what people usually look for, Daniel, I mean, at what we usually find at these Christmas markets is, you know, lots of creative of gifts from local producers. There's family activities, always an inviting atmosphere. You know, sometimes you've got a campfire there. They got demonstrations, live music, and different types of entertainment. Seasonal produce, baked goods, clothing, toques, crafts, decorations. So the list is really long. So what I thought I would do, if it's okay with you and our listeners, is that over the next couple of weeks as we head into Christmas, each week we're going to talk about one or two of these markets that you can discover right here in the beautiful Eastern Townships. Some of them, of course, will be in the bigger towns. Some of them will be in the small villages. So does that sound like a plan?
Hey, I'm in.
Okay.
Well, you know me. I'm always in. Come on.
There we go. Well, look, let's first take a really quick look at the second annual Marché de Noël, or Christmas market, happening in Stoke. Now, this is a fairly new Christmas market, and it's put on by the Association for the Protection of Stoke Lake, or Lac Stoke. And it's happening on November 29th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can discover over 33 artisans and products ranging from soap, food made with honey, and desserts. There's crafts, stained glass, and a whole lot more. And of course, whenever you go to a market, well, your purchases support the local economy. Now, it's all happening at 387 Rue Principale in Stoke. That's at the community center, right in the center of town there. For those that don't know Stoke, well, there's a population of about 3,000 people in and around Stoke. And it's situated in the beautiful RCM of Val-Saint-François. And it's about 20 kilometers from Sherbrooke. It's actually the third annual Christmas market in Stoke. And we also have, of course, a bigger one happening in Sherbrooke at Lac des Nations, which is not far from the Times Hotel, every Saturday and Sunday from now until December 21st. And the standard times are like 10 to 4 p.m. What's really neat at the Gare de Sherbrooke, or the old train station, is that there's going to be things you can visit and buy and discover inside as well as outside. So there's going to be face painting. There's going to be a giant slide outside, circus demonstrations, live music, ranges from blues to traditional Quebecois music. You can buy a Christmas tree there. You can discover the elf activity, the annual Sherbrooke Find the Elf activity. You can take a walk around the lake. And that's before, after, or while here shopping for local produce, baked goods, snacks. And it's one of my favorite places to go during the holidays. There's lots to do there. And then we can finish off with a market in the heart of Bromissisquoi. That's the Christmas market in Sutton, and it's happening this weekend, November 29th and 30th, and then the following weekend on December 6th and 7th. It all goes on from 10 to 4 p.m., and the Sutton market is kind of special because it all takes place in a huge heated tent where you can discover over 30 artisans. There's going to be arts and crafts, sweet treats, of course. Daniel, I know you're going to go for that. There's local produce and baked goods. Fantastic gift ideas, because what you may not know is that for a long time, Sutton has been known as really one of the most artistic towns in this part of the province. Tons of visual artists, musicians. It's a real creative hub in beautiful surroundings. So, you know, head out this weekend to the Marché de Noël de Sutton, or the following weekend. There's going to be hot chocolate for the kids. There's going to be jugglers, decoration ideas. And yeah, of course, you can also visit the charming town of Sutton to continue your holiday errands and your visiting. You can go for a ski. You can go for a hike. Great way to discover local artisans and local produce. A chance to visit these local towns and cities when you're there for the Christmas markets. So there's no lack of Christmas stuff to do.
Sweet treats, also known as breakfast here at home. It's always good to talk to you, brother. Ed brings you information about all regions of the townships every week at this time on The Drive. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Well, we'll see you later when your legs are straighter. Bye-bye.
Of course, there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Interview of the week, William Crooks, an independent, well-known journalist. He's been covering the Eastern Townships for a number of years. He's going to talk about the changes in municipal politics over the past few weeks in Lennoxville, in Shelbrooke, Ayerscliff, Hatley Township, Kawatikuk, Austin, Waterloo, Cowansville, Knowlton, and Sutton. William Crooks next on the Friday Drive's Interview of the Week.
Such a drag to want. something sometime. One thing leads to another, I know. Was a time I wanted you for mine. Nobody knew. You arrived like a day and passed like a cloud. I made a wish, I said it out loud. Loud in the crowd. I'd like to know, but why should I? Who were you then? Who are you now? Well, common labor by night, by day eyebrow. Back in my room, I wonder that I sit on the bed, look at the sky. Up in the sky.
The interview of the week on the Friday Drive, a discussion with people making news in the Eastern Townships. Here's Daniel.
William Crooks is an independent, well-known journalist. He's been covering the Eastern Townships for a number of years. Good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Daniel. It's great to be here.
You know, I've been at the other end of the planet for the past month, William. We left about a week before the municipal elections. I'm so grateful for you to agree to come on, give us an overall view on the new councils, the new mayors, the new structures of the various municipalities in the CJMQ and CIDI listening area. Thank you for the work.
Well, you're very welcome. I've been covering it for about a month, so I've got a lot of great material for everybody.
All right, let's start with Lennoxville, and there have been a few changes there.
So right after the Lennoxville elections, I interviewed Bert Collins, who became borough president, and Frank Gilbert, who became the Fairview District representative, and then Claude Charron. Those conversations that I had with them are already shaping the borough's early tone. All three stressed something that's pretty rare in Sherbrooke politics, and that is that the table is fully independent. So there's no party members. People will remember before that Guillaume Lirette-Gelina was part of Sherbrooke Citoyen. Now everybody's independent. So it's just three people who actually live in Lennoxville making local calls. Collins told me that he walked every street to get elected. The main issues on the docket were sidewalk and bike path issues. The bike path was a big story in Lennoxville recently. Sherbrooke is planning to put a path stretching from all the way down Queen Street and eliminating some parking spots. Claude Charron, who used to be borough president but is now in a lesser role, described it as quite a swing, but he seems relieved. He wants to semi-retire. He's glad to be working just for Lennoxville and not bearing the administrative load that comes with being a Sherbrooke city councillor. Finally, you got Frank Gilbert, who won with almost 50% of the vote. He was really excited about how many people were interested in local issues. He said his campaigning showed him that Lennoxville really does care.
All right. Let's go to Sherbrooke now. Any major surprises with Marie-Claude Bibeau becoming the new mayor?
So it wasn't a surprise that Marie-Claude Bibeau was going to win. She was ahead in the polling pretty substantially. She ended up winning with just about 40% of the vote, with Vincent Boutin in second place. I was there at her election night headquarters at Le Ciboire downtown in Sherbrooke. What she told me in an interview there set the tone for what she's been doing for the last month. And so she talked to me how mainly municipal politics, as opposed to her previous federal role as Compton Sansit MP, is about proximity. So she emphasized parks, cycling paths, water plants, day-to-day infrastructure, things like that. She's been meeting with councillors one-on-one to get all their opinions on those subjects. Including herself, there were four serious candidates in that election, and she thought it was at a really high caliber. The debate stayed respectful and idea-focused. Big, big thing on the docket for her is the 2026 budget. They're sprinting to adopt it before Christmas, which is always pretty tricky, she told me.
There's been a lot of chaos in the city of Sherbrooke. It's going to be interesting to see if she can finally rein everybody in and see if Sherbrooke can work as a group as opposed to many individuals working for themselves.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Again, I think the big story there is independence. So Reyes Kibonge, who is running for Sherbrooke Citoyen, he came last with about 8% of the vote, I think. In general, was kind of a rejection by Sherbrooke citizens of party politics.
Time to go on to bigger and better things, I think. All right, as far as Aerscliff, what's the story there?
I had a nice interview with new mayor, but returning mayor, Alec Van Zuyden. He's going for a more team-style council this year, not what he calls a strong mayor model. So every councillor on the committee in Aerscliff has a presidency and a vice presidency to kind of spread the load around. He doesn't want to be reporting every file at council meetings. He wants each person to bear their individual load. He really emphasized to me that volunteers are the backbone of Aerscliff. Several holiday events coming, and he called volunteers the heartbeat of the municipality. Said the town couldn't run without them. The big, big thing on the docket for Aerscliff is the what is called the Mador Residential Project, which is a large group of apartment buildings behind the Wolf Tech building, kind of on the left as you come into town from the 143. And he said he hasn't taken a position yet on exactly how that's all going to work out, because he hasn't got the full technical briefing. He thinks that'll be the big thing on the docket for 2026.
All right, William Crook, you also wanted to bring up Hatley Township and Quaticook.
I spoke with Mayor Vincent Fontaine a couple weeks after his re-election. The main issue in Hatley Township is the 300-acre donation that the town has made to the Massawippi Foundation. This is something that he started in his last mandate, and he's going to finalize now. Another big issue in Hatley is road maintenance. Hatley has 98 kilometers of roads, and apparently the full cost of fixing them all would be $43 million, which is totally impossible for them to cover. So they're going to take a grant-driven approach and do the best they can. And there's a new bistro in the renovated upstairs hall at the former Mall Hatley, it's called now. There's a variety of environmental issues and trail improvements that they're working on as well. In terms of Quaticook, I tuned into the first Quaticook Council meeting earlier this month after the election. A big issue there is road safety. Apparently, heavy vehicle traffic has increased. The mayor confirmed that the town is on it. A local doctor stood up and she warned the council about some provincial health care reforms, saying that inside the system she's a part of, and I quote, the fire is burning, right? So the mayor supported her and supported her local clinic is very, very important. Local medical care seems to be of high importance in Quaticook.
One of the major issues in Quaticook is with the emergency room opening hours. They're very concerned that they might lose out on doctors there, and I certainly understand would not be a very good thing to get injured and then have to travel to Sherbrooke for help. In Magog, the mayor was reelected there. There was no opposition. In Ostend, Lisette Maillet is back.
Lisette Maillet is starting for her fifth mandate, so she's been there for 20 years, and this will bring her to 24, 25 at the end of this term. The biggest file on her desk, she told me in an interview, the town is required by the provincial government to do a heritage inventory. So they have 2 years to evaluate every single building, every single pre-1940 property in the municipality. And she said she supports heritage protection, but she's worried that the funding to do all that work might put unnecessary unnecessary or unjustifiable costs on the local population. Another big theme is lake protection. The municipality is moving towards automated boat launching gates by 2026, and they'll require digital proof in order to get through those gates that your boat has been washed before you can access lakes. And finally, just like Ayers Cliff, there's a large 24-lot private development underway near the village core. The town is working on that. She told me, extremely committed to make the village center of Austin more vibrant, which includes new youth activity zones, including water games, trying to attract more commercial activity.
Gotcha. All right, going west now. Let's talk about Waterloo.
So Waterloo, I also tuned into their first council meeting. They approved a massive $1 million project for major renovations to the low-rent housing units on Rue Bellevue. And that includes demolishing 28 smaller houses on the property. And Waterloo itself is responsible for 10% of that money. A big ticket item was infrastructure in general. They're replacing culverts. They're extending engineering oversight on a delayed development. There's renewed contracts for their drinking water system and various other environmental issues. Agendas for meetings will be posted 1 week earlier, giving residents a better idea of what's coming up in the monthly council meetings.
Got you. What about the town of Cowansville, William?
Cowansville as well. I spoke to Mayor Sylvie Beauregard a few weeks ago. The big, big story in Cowansville is a $30 million regional aquatic center, which will be built to replace the 60-year-old pool that exists there now. It's a huge regional project. Sutton, Lac-Brome, Dunham, Bromont, and local schools like Massey-Vanier will all use it. And then for environmental issues, the town is spending $150,000 a year to fight the Eurasian water milfoil seaweed issue in Lac d'Avignon. Another financial worry is that Sûreté de Québec, this is a worry across all regions, really. Costs keep rising for the police. However, while smaller municipalities have complained a little bit about their SQ service, Cowansville says the SQ is great there, probably because of their larger size.
All right, two more municipalities to go. Let's start with Sutton.
Okay, great. I talked to Mayor Robert Benoit, and I tuned into the first Sutton Council meeting. The big news in Sutton is a 43% increase for residential values in the municipality and a 67% increase for agricultural and forestry land. Mr. Benoit told me they'll have significant lower tax rate to keep people's bills down, given the rising property costs. And again, housing is an issue there. There's a new 24-unit land trust project in the works. There's a 39-unit rental project on Rue Principale. He emphasized to me, Mr. Benoit, that a big, big item on the ticket, which is one of the first things that got him into politics, was water issues in Sutton. There's a moratorium on water issues because pumping up water up the mountain, the Sutton Mountain, where a lot of people live, is so expensive that they really need to work out how the cost of that is going to work.
I would think so. And let's finish with Knowlton, where there have been huge changes.
Okay, so I spoke with Mayor Lee Patterson, the new mayor of Knowlton, just a few days after he's elected. He's been on council for at least 8 years previously and promises continuity with the former Mayor Richard Burcombe regime. His first priority has been tightening development and construction rules and improving communication with residents. During his campaign, he told me he heard a lot about wanting clearer, faster notification when there are zoning changes. And he's organizing the creation of a whole citizen portal to make that a lot more effective with modern technology. A couple other big topics, the new fire hall gotten provincial approval. That happened just before the election. And now the town is finalizing the land deal and construction is still scheduled for 2027. And finally, a big topic over the past couple months has been the tree cutting issue, where a property owner on Brome Lake may have cut down a bunch of trees along the shoreline that he wasn't supposed to. This drew massive attention from the population. Big, big council meetings in August and September. Unfortunately, because that's a legal matter, Mr. Patterson told me directly that while it will affect the issue of bylaws in the future, any new information on that issue is being kept quiet for the moment.
Great work as always. Do you have anything else to add pertaining to everything we've just talked about?
I do, Daniel. A big item of importance for the Pulse these days was in an editorial I wrote recently on the website. I'm really, really trying to push and argue that all council meetings across the townships should be recorded in audio or video. Waterloo, Coaticook, Magog, Sherbrooke, Sutton all do a fantastic job. There's no reason why Ayerscliff, Stanstead, and North Hatley can't join them.
William Crooks is an independent journalist. You can catch him on the Pulse of the Eastern Townships, pulsetownships.com. William, thank you so much for all the work, and we hope to speak to you soon.
Great, man. My pleasure.
The Friday Drive. News, sports, education, arts and culture. Everything having to do with the Eastern Townships. And just in time for your weekend. Every week on your community radio stations. CJMQ and CIDI-FM. The Friday Drive.
Woke up to the morning sky first. Baby blue, just like we rehearsed. When I get up off this ground, I shake leaves back down to the brown, 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 till I'm clean. Then I walk, I'll be shaded by. Green for about a mile. I'm headed to town, 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 in style with all my favorite colors. Yes, sir. All my favorite colors. My sisters and my brothers see them like no.
Baby.
1330 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Sports, John Edwards back here in the radio on the Friday Drive. U.S. Thanksgiving here with NFL games up the you-know-where. Boy, I love December. It's the final route to who's going to make the playoffs. It's a fun time of year.
You know, everything starts to get into place. You know, I mean, right now you're interrupting me watching Chicago and the Eagles. And so that the Sunday set, I think the Rams at Carolina looks interesting. I mean, the Rams are 9-2. They've been rolling. So we'll see if they can keep their lead in the NFC West, because that sort of looks like a possible three-horse race between them, the Seahawks, and the 49ers. And the other one that's interesting is Houston, Indianapolis. That'll help decide the AFC South. 4 o'clock, we've got Buffalo and Pittsburgh. I think that's the most interesting game there.
Yeah.
The Bills have not been the Bills that we've known the last couple of years, so we'll see if they can rebound. I mean, they've lost control of the AFC East to the Patriots. You know, now it looks like they're sort of fighting for a wild card. And
on the surprise / shock scale, where do you stand pertaining to the Patriots?
I did not see this coming at all. I mean, I knew Mike Vrabel was a good coach, but I did not see them rolling like they have. I mean, that division they're in is weak. Other than the Bills, the Jets and the Dolphins can barely tie their shoes without assistance. You know, that streak the Patriots have been on is something else.
They look like the Patriots from 10 years ago. Wow.
They, you know, their turnaround has been total surprise. You know, just amazing to see.
All right. Let's talk about the Phoenix. What sort of weekend are they looking at?
They've got a couple of games at home this week. They're at home tonight against Drummondville. Saturday, they've got Victoriaville at 4 o'clock.
You know, next week we'll be talking about that rink they put up in Trois-Rivières for the Outdoor Classic. And boy, there's a lot of things to talk about that. So let's reserve that for next weekend.
Yep.
All right. The Cantonniers, Magog?
Well, the Cantonniers actually get early taste of that fancy rink in Trois-Rivières because they're at St. Hyacinthe on Friday. And then on Sunday, they go to Trois-Rivières to play outside in the Hippodrome.
Yeah, the question is whether or not the organizers are going to end up making money with that.
Well, they've scheduled a bunch of games at it, so hopefully they do overall.
All right. Montreal Canadiens weekend.
The Habs are in Colorado tomorrow, so good luck with that.
And Colorado is going to be wearing the Quebec Nordique uniform as well.
Oh, it's too bad that game's not today. We could have a Black Friday basket, and that's a good Friday one.
I wonder if they could bring back Alain Côté.
Yes, that needs to happen. And then next week, they've got Ottawa and Winnipeg at home. So those will be a little bit, they'll try to rebound from the last week that hasn't been great for them.
Yeah. Did you lose the bet? That was the one where you said that Kirby Duck and Gooley wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah, that's why I'm living in a box now.
And they did claim Sammy Blais this week.
Yes, I saw that. He's gone to Laval for the time being.
CF Montreal in soccer switches to a winter heavy schedule. What are the chances that the team is really going to make out real well over that?
It's not great news for any northern team, and especially Montreal, the northernest, because the MLS has decided to make its schedule rather than running sort of through the calendar year like cold weather countries have done, and like soccer in North America has run since it's been a thing at the professional level. They've decided to make their schedule align with the rest of Europe and the other major leagues. So they're going to start in about August. Take a break in, I think, December, January for about 4 to 6 weeks and end their season in May.
Well, a lot of people have said it won't be a problem because they'll be playing at Olympic Stadium. The thing is you, I don't think you really want to compete against the Montreal Canadiens for headlines in the winter months.
No, the Habs take up all the media oxygen. You know, you're not getting a line in. Even if you are able to play in the Big O, and you know, who knows, there might be truck shows or whatever else going on in there. I don't, you know, getting people to tromp through minus 10, minus 20 degree weather to go watch soccer is going to be hard to do. And so, yeah, I don't think it's going to be. The only saving grace for Montreal is they do have Olympic Stadium available if they want to go down that road.
Wow.
But even then, it's Olympic Stadium is a terrible place to watch.
Yep. Mark my words, CF Detroit is what this team is going to look like in about 4 or 5 years.
Well, given that they've assigned a schedule that favors the Southern teams, I mean, I could see the CF Tampa Bay Rowdies before too long.
Yeah. I was thinking Detroit, they have a covered stadium, and they're looking for a team.
Oh, good point.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, Formula One.
Yes. It's we're off to Qatar. It's round 23, and I can't make the joke about Lance Stroll finishing in 23rd because there's only 21 teams.
Plenty of good tickets available, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
Good to talk to you. Talk to you next weekend.
Yep, we'll see you then.
We hope you'll take a minute and visit our Facebook page. Like the page. Leave your comments. Every week there's information, links, and photos about what you hear on this radio program. Please visit the Friday Drive Radio Show Facebook page.
Yeah.
Want to know what to do this weekend? It's arts, entertainment, and culture. Here's Sonia Patinode.
Lo and behold, back on the radio, Sonia Patinode with Arts and Culture, right here on The Drive. Oh, I missed you.
I missed you.
What's up?
No, I missed you.
I missed you.
No. You hang up.
What have you been up to these past few weeks?
So many things. While you were happy, gallivanting, escalating, you know, climbing Mount Fuji and stuff.
Yeah.
A little us in the Eastern Townships kept busy with our lives and, you know, just lots of work. I miss talking to people about shows. I'm like, oh, I'm going to talk about the show. I said, no, I can't. So I guess I'll tell people just around me. And I was almost trying to find a bullhorn to blow out of my car. Things are coming up.
I know there are a couple of things regarding you, because it's really all about you. You were singing not that long ago, but you also received some wonderful news for 2026 sometime in April.
I do, but yes. And then I need to tell you one thing before I tell you about this. So I sang in Waterloo last week and the week before. You have to go to Waterloo to CC Buvette, whether it's for the music, the cafe, the ambiance. That place is a old bank that eventually became a funeral parlor. And now it's a wonderfully gorgeous performance space, great food bar, CC Buvette in Waterloo on Foster Street.
Have they been open long?
I don't know. It looks pretty newish. I'm not familiar with Waterloo. I need to go there during the day because it looks like a bustling little town. And they're collaborating with La Maison de la Culture de Waterloo. And so lots of exciting things happening over there.
Okay.
And so April. Well, I crashed. Oh, I guess they had a show book rehearsal because they were rehearsing on campus at Bishop's. And I said, what's going on? There's these like 15 brass and a rhythm section, and I go, who are you people? Why are you here?
Who are you people?
And I knew some of the musicians, but not so much. They were playing, they were rehearsing. I was mesmerized. I said, do you realize that I need to do something with you at some point in time? Because this is my dream. This is my dream of life. And this person did not know me. And she went, okay, that's nice. Bye. Time goes on. A couple of years go by and we meet, we talk. So about a month ago, I received a wonderful call. The orchestra, the Jazz de Sherbrooke, has invited me to come and sing a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald on April 25th, 2026.
Wow, that's big stuff.
It's kind of cool. So we'll keep you posted on that. It's going to happen at Seminaire Saint-Charles, the old Seminaire Saint-Charles, Saint-Laurent. There's a hall there. I should know this, being the culture person right now. I'm too excited.
Okay.
I'm very excited, but it's lovely.
Wow. So
thank you for asking.
I'll be there.
That's great. I hope so.
I don't know how much it costs. I don't care. I'll be there.
That's the right answer. I like that. See?
Okay.
Look at Daniel. Be like Daniel.
There you go. All right. Let's get to the business of what we do. And let's talk about festival lessons and carols.
Every year, Sarah Heath, who is a wonderful choir conductor, puts together this wonderful event with students, with people from the community, and they come to sing at the Festival of Lessons and Carols at the St. Mark Chapel. There are two events, Friday night at 7 p.m., November 28th, and Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. It is a mix of readings of the story of Christmas, and where the congregation is invited to sing. It is a non-denominational, it's not a service, it's just a beautiful event where music and song and beautiful texts are read. It's a candlelit event. There's a free will offering that is very gladly accepted. At this time, there's so many things happening on the Bishop's campus. If it's at 7 p.m., make sure you arrive way earlier than expected. Lots of stuff happening at 4 p.m., also arrive early. And so this is the choir, the chapel choir. They perform at every church service on Sundays, and they're led by Sarah Heath, who is wonderful. Maryse is the organist, and we also often have either a trumpet player who had to do that. So that's at the St. Mark's Chapel at Bishop's University this Friday and Saturday.
I tell you, Sonia Patinode in music, I tell you. All right, you wanted to talk about Santa. You know what? I know him.
You do?
I do.
Well, make some space on your couch because he's coming over this weekend. on Sunday, November 30th. It is the Santa Claus Parade at 3 p.m. It will start from École de la Montée Lebert, just across the bridge of the river. And that's at 3 p.m. So that's the Sainte-Famille and 11th Avenue. It will deambulate through the streets, King Street, and then by City Hall, Wellington. And then it's 3 kilometers of pure joy. These beautiful chariots with flowers and music and an elf. Maybe he will just be there. What was his name? Buddy? Is that you?
Buddy the elf.
And so it's just only two more dodos. Line up, because it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful event. Get ready to be mesmerized by the Santa Claus Parade, Sunday, November 30th at 3 p.m.
I'm looking at the English dictionary here. I can't see deambulé.
Deambulé?
Deambulé. That's what you said. Okay. Let's talk about 10,000 Christmas markets. And you said, let me go. I got a lot of things to talk about.
There's so many. I mean, I think there's already been some. I mean, this weekend is the one. So Christmas market at the farm, November 29th and 30th. This is at Zoo Animation Estrie on Chemin Réaume in Saint-Élie from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Barn animals, campfire music, warm beverages, local artisans. Admission is free. No reservations are required. It's a non-smoking site. You can't bring your own pets. There are pets on the premises for you to look at. There will be a shuttle between two markets. So this one and the other one is at Parc Gingras Community Center. Christmas market at the farm at Zoo Animation Estrie, November 29th, 30th, 10 to 4 p.m. There's another one a little closer to home, December 6th. So that's not this weekend. It's the following weekend. This one's at Lennoxville United Church. It is hosted by the Marché Public de Lennoxville and Camille Lucier, who is also the owner of Ferme Les Hautes Zipi. They have wonderful products. So that's right here in Lennoxville. And then that same weekend, if you're in Magog, you can go to the Days of Old Christmas Market, December 6th and 7th. And on the 9th of the 6th, you can take a walk by lantern in Cherry River, La Rivière aux Cerises. That's right by your place.
Yeah, right around the corner here. Yeah.
It's just wacko. One more, Marché de Noël at the Waldorf School right there in Waterville, Les Enfants de la Terre. That is on Saturday, November 29th from 10 to 4 p.m. Merchants, artisans, lots of food, workshops, Christmas trees, rather, are going to be available. Wreaths as well. Shall I go on? I'm sure there's like 25 Jeez, million
busy,
more.
Busy, busy, busy. Yeah.
There's something for everyone everywhere. So if you're in a township, just throw a dart and you'll find a Christmas market. I promise you.
Dart. Does the Advent calendar, does it start on the 1st of December or 30 days before Christmas? I never know. I'm so confused.
Oh, no. It starts on the 1st of December. There's only like 24 or 25.
Okay. All right.
Boxes. But what I do is I make my own.
I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, okay. Yes. I make my own. Put little chocolates in boxes for my kitties. Still do it.
And your favorite radio announcer?
Oh, yes, of course. My favorite radio announcer is, yeah.
There. And reading at Haskell Opera House.
Mm-hmm. That's going to happen on Sunday, December 7th. It's called The Shepherd, a story by Frederick Forsyth. And it is a reading by Michael Rutter. It's a free event. It's on December 7th at 1:30 p.m. in beautiful Haskell Opera House. And speaking of the Haskell, you know that new entrance is really underway, and it's going to look fabulous. It's going to be more expensive, but I think it's making its way, and be able to just visit the Haskell Opera House in a more peaceful manner and not be so stressed when we sort of cross the street or not cross the street, or, you know, I love that place.
Yeah, I hear Louise Penny really did well a few weeks ago there.
Oh, yes. Called The Current. The Current was recording there. So our Sheila Quinn, she met Matt Galloway. She was a happy lady.
Good for her. Sonia Jimmy Cliff, one of the most prominent and beloved proponents of reggae music, passed away. He was 81. A star since the 60s, he helped bring the sound of Jamaica to a global audience through hits such as Wonderful World, Great People. Well, that wasn't really the title, but hey. And you can get it if you really want. His lead role in the 1972 crime drama The Harder They Come is a cornerstone of Jamaican cinema, and was attributed as the movie that brought reggae to America. Bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
There you go. And memorabilia from legendary Canadian musician Gordon Lightfoot. I like him. Mm-hmm. I liked him. It was auctioned yesterday in Toronto. Biggest ticket item, Lightfoot's performance guitar, which sold for $380,000. Wow.
There's a caveat with that, right?
Oh?
It is considered Canadian heritage. It cannot be taken out of the country.
Oh.
So whoever bought this item needs to keep this item in the country. So that makes it that more special.
I liked everything he did. As a young disc jockey, we were forced to play 33% Canadian content on every show we did. Thanks to the rule, I learned to love everything about Gordon Lightfoot. You know, such great music, Sundown and Beautiful. It's just a great song. Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, I came to enjoy over the years.
The story you're telling, I heard a bit of that. They appropriately played his song, The Auctioneer. I didn't realize he had that song. So I recognized his voice. I didn't know what it was. So it was beautiful to hear that in that context.
Sonia Padnode, always good to talk to you. Have a great weekend. We speak next week.
It's nice to have you back. Take care.
Salut.
Can't listen to the entire show? Visit the CJMQ website at cjmq.fm and go to the shows section. Thank you for listening to the Friday Drive.
No, I turned wrong, left your heart torn. Is that what devils do? Took you so long, where only fools go. I shook the angel and young. Now I'm rising from the crowd, rising up to you. Filled with all the strength I find, there's nothing I can't do.
That's it for another week. The Friday Drive is broadcast on CJMQ FM and CIDI FM in Knowlton every Friday, 4:30 to 6 o'clock, replayed Mondays on CJMQ. Show is always available as a podcast at www.cjmq.fm. Go to the Shows tab. Also at www.cidi991.com/podcasts. Friday Drive is a CJMQ-FM production. Thank you to Program Director Maureen Dillon, as well as Alexander Bonville and Tony Mason in Knowlton. And today's guest, journalist Robert McPherson, journalist William Crooks, and Tony Mason from CIDI-FM. This is Danielle Quidome on behalf of John Edwards, Ed Humphrey, and Sonia Padnode. Thank you so much for listening. Have yourselves a great weekend. Hope you'll be here next week at the same time on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM. Well, this being U.S. Thanksgiving weekend, it's starting to look a little bit like Christmas. Here's Michael Bublé to take the show home. Have a good weekend.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.